Praise God. Hallelujah. We glorify the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone, to this evening live stream. Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Pastor Teddy from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And today was a good day here in the presence of God, in the house of God. And I urge you, I invite you to come and worship with us. By all means, put everything to the side. Put all the weights and put all the burdens and put all the fearfulness, all of that. Put it to the side. Just put it to the side. And come on down and worship. Worship in the house of God. There's no place like here in God's house. Amen. Let's start right away with a word of prayer, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we dedicate, Lord, this service to you. Just like, Lord, every service.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we give ourselves to you, Lord, right now. Use us, Lord. And Lord, may your people, Lord, hear you. May they see you, Lord, and not me. I ask, Lord, that you will personally, Lord, speak to everyone participating, Lord, in this live stream. And everyone, Lord, who is here right now. Touch them, Lord, in a profound way. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, within the last couple of weeks, and once in a while, I will just see what the market is like, right? Just do a little dibble dabble here and there. What do I mean by that? If you've known me for a period of time, you know that I have a secondary job, and I sell automobiles, and for the last 5 years, I've been selling high-performance cars, race cars, factory-made race cars. So I know what the market is like for the pre-owned German supercar, and also the market for other vehicles and whatnot, because it's part of my job. And you know that I like fast cars. I've always liked fast cars. And what guy does not like fast cars, right? Fast cars, fast bikes, fast airplanes, a fast bicycle, you name it, whatever. But the point I'm trying to make is, within the last couple of weeks, and then once in a while I go and I check out the market. If in case you didn't know, and I think I might have talked about this once or twice, I like a nice timepiece. I like watches. I don't collect watches because I can't afford them, the ones that I like. I like a nice driving car. It doesn't have to be an overly expensive car. I like a nice driving automobile that drinks a lot of gas. Because chances are, if it drinks a ton of gas, it drives really nice. Amen to that, brother. Thank you very much. That is so true. I mean, my wife loves hot rods, specifically Mustangs. And Mustangs are guzzlers. If you're driving a four-cylinder Mustang, shame on you. No, I'm kidding. But nonetheless, my thing is I like nice automobiles. I like a good writing utensil. It doesn't have to be an over-the-top pen or pencil. I have some nice pencils that I collect. And I really enjoy a nice timepiece, a nice watch. So within the last couple of weeks or so, after a while, after even a couple of years, I go back and I say, what is the market like for this brand of watch and that brand? There's three different brands of watches that I'm very fond of. One of them is regularly used by pilots. And they have these watches with chronographs on them. And you could use them to measure distance and time and speed and all this good stuff. Fun stuff, right? And so I've just been praying, oh Lord, this is not a necessity, Lord. It's just a want. You want to spoil us, right, Lord? You want to spoil us. Lord, you made all things. Nothing is impossible to you. And I'm quoting all these scriptures. And I'm bringing these scriptures to the Lord. And I'm pleading my case right then and there. But regardless, the title to my sermon this evening, if in case you're wondering, I'm pretty sure you're thinking right now, Pastor, where are you going with this? All right, we're talking about watches here. What's going on? I titled this evening's service, The Christian and a Fine Watch. The Christian and a Fine Watch. And I look around, and who doesn't like a nice timepiece? Everybody does, or most people do. I see Brother Alvin sometimes wearing a really nice watch on his wrist. Sometimes it's a really big one like this he's got, all blinged out, right? Or he's got like this nice black face watch with a black band. Looks really nice. He wears it with his suit. I pay attention, brother. I know. You know, Sister Janet, our piano player, she's got a nice timepiece on her watch, on her wrist. She told me about it. It was a gift from her husband, right, sister? Her husband gifted her a nice silver watch with a nice dial. You know, she's had for many years, and she wears it proudly, and it looks beautiful on her. Not over the top, very elegant, very chic. Yes, goes with the attire. Now, by taking something with which we are familiar with, right? By taking this that we can relate, we can draw some simple comparisons. Very simple comparisons to a Christian. And today I want to compare a Christian, a believer, a God-fearing person to a fine, dependable watch. That's all I'm going to talk about today. Please stay tuned. You ready? All right, here we go. Praise God. Now, what I'm about to say, potentially you might know where I might be heading, but would you agree with me that a watch must be full of good works? Every single component inside of a watch has to all work properly, perfectly, one with another. A fine watch is full of good works. Some of these works are set in jeweled elements in order to work without any sort of friction or as little friction as possible. Watches are calibrated. They are known by the amount of jewels that they have. And there's different types of jewels inside of them. And as time progresses, they change and they get better and they get smoother. And each Christian should also be full of good works, operating as far as possible without any type of friction whatsoever. And it is said that Dorcas, in the book of Acts, was full of good works and all deeds which she did. A person that is regarded to have full of good works and abiding in good deeds. I want to bring it to your attention. Acts 9:36. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. This good woman was not only full of good works, but she did good works. You see the difference here? Not just intentions, but she actually acted them out. Not just in her mind, but also in her actions. Not just good intentions. And do you see the difference that I'm saying here? The difference between the two. Oftentimes we have good intentions and we want to do good and we have a good clean heart, but we don't proceed. It doesn't show. It doesn't come forth. We don't do it. We have the vision. We have the whole thing planned out and we can see it and whatnot, but it just doesn't carry through. It doesn't come out. It doesn't precede us. We are told that the path to hell is paved with good intentions. And let us not keep it right there. I've talked over and over and over again for a while about works, good works, tying it to our faith, tying it to our salvation, and everything else. And every individual member of the church must be ready into every good work as the Bible instructs us. Every member, just like a watch case that has many members and many pieces that work together smoothly, bring it now to the grand scheme of things. Let's bring it to your attention right now. Titus 3:1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. The instructions of the Lord. And that is us. The church is a body. The church is this entity. And this entity is made up of all these different parts. The Bible says that we can't all be eyes and ears and feet and legs, and we can't all be elbows. We can't all be elbows. Everybody wants to be an elbow. We cannot be. It's not going to work. We all have to work together in unity in all that the Lord has placed in us for this to be the cliche here or the famous commercial. A well-oiled machine, a well-working machine. This is the body of Christ, just like a good, dependable watch. And now, the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 6, verses 10. May I have that, please? Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's us, folks. That's us here, the body of Christ. I'm going to give you another example. Our Lord Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in verses 16. It says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let your light shine. Let people see what you're made out of. Let them see your good works. No intentions. Put aside all the intentions. Oh, I intended to do this and I intended to do that. No. Make your works visible so people around you will glorify God, will see the Lord our God through you. The Apostle Paul says that God will give glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good. This is a promise from our Heavenly Father. Furthermore, Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are created in Christ for good works. We are created in Him for His purpose, for the honor and glory of His name, for us to be used for good works. James says, "To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. So therefore, we have been created for good works, for the purpose and the honor and glory of God. Let us go ahead and proceed. Put away the intentions. Set aside the intentions, because if we know, because we know and we know, and we don't do it, it's counted against us automatically. And there are so many other scriptures that tell us that we are to be full of and abounding in every good work. And therefore, we must oblige if we want to please our Heavenly Father. Moving forward, a good dependable watch. And I've seen this just growing up. I've seen it with the school kids. A good dependable watch keeps going in all kinds of weather, right? In all different types of situation. I've seen watches not work after a workout. Right, a mechanical watch, or after a dive in the swimming pool, not even in the ocean, in the pool. So I consider my wristwatch, since it's a somewhat of a cheap watch, as being something that is among some of the fine watches in the world, such as, for example, Rolex or a Breitling, right? Movado is also, you know, a well-known name. They've been around for a while. IWC, they put those in Mercedes-Benz, just the S-classes, though. You know, my watch, when I opened the box, it said, designed in California, but made in China. So, by far, I don't have a Swiss watch. Okay. Not yet. In Jesus' name. Yes. Designed in California, made in China. That's my watch. And I will have you know that it doesn't really matter from which nation a child of God come from. He or she can and is to be full of good works. But I can say one thing for the watch that I have. It keeps going on and on and on. It doesn't fail me. It works when I travel here and there, in the high and the low, in the heat and in the cold. Literally, anywhere that I go, in whatever I do, it works. I just have to keep it charged. I don't have to be calling the brand. You know exactly the brand I'm talking about, right? Where they stamp in, designed in California. Now, it works fine. It works perfectly fine. It updates itself. It changes the time zone whenever I go into a different time zone. It works perfectly fine, literally anywhere I go. And those who are true Christians keep it going in all different types of climates and weathers and condition. And Paul suggests that this is what we should do. No matter what the situation, no matter what the climate, no matter what it might be, we ought to continue. Moving forward, continue on and on and on without skipping a beat. Let's read about that. Can I please have Corinthians chapter 15, verses 58? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. Always abounding in good works. Every single one of us. And know for a fact that it does not go unseen. 100%. We will be compensated by our Lord. Now, we should never approach things in a way of what am I going to get out of it? How am I going to benefit from it? No. We ought to submit ourselves to the Lord, but it does not get swept under the rug. He also told Timothy to keep on going regardless of the conditions set before him. And our Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 through 22, these words. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Our Lord Jesus speaks about some difficult times, tragic times, times when one will be tried, but yet we keep on ticking. We keep on the faith, immovable, as described in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. We keep on going because we will be saved. We will receive the crown. Praise God. And in Revelation chapter 2, verses 10, our Lord Jesus said these words. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Instead, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulations 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's a promise, folks. The promise from God for us to continue to be steadfast, abounding in good works, all the way to the end. Praise God. The next comparison that I want to do is this. A good watch has useful hands, wouldn't you say? The hands on a watch are very important and useful. Just think of trying to tell time with a watch that has no hands on it. Is it even a watch at all? Well, my brother right here cheated. He said digital. All right now. We're talking about a timepiece here. Praise God. I have a digital watch, but my face has a hand on it. There's no numbers on it. Praise the Lord. But nonetheless, this is like one trying to prove, right? I'm talking about a watch with no hands, right? Here you have a case, which is the outside, but inside of the dial, there's no hands whatsoever to tell what time it is. This is like one trying to prove his faith in Christianity without any action on his part. That's what it's like. You tell somebody, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and whatnot, but they have no idea, they would have never guessed. They can't see the love of God in you. They can't see anything, feel His presence. You don't have any testimony or none of the above. You're not even a nice person, right? That's like a watch with no hands. And I've preached about this in James for weeks, James chapter 2, from verses 14 through 26, which is titled, Faith Without Works is dead. Our faith. We are a people of faith. And without works whatsoever, it's considered as nothing. Dead. And the hands of a Christian are also very important and have a very useful purpose. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. If you are good at something, if you have a skill, if the Lord has given you a skill, a gift, do it. Don't waste it. Don't waste a good talent, or don't waste a talent is what the saying goes. Do it with all of thy might, and do it for the honor and glory of God. We need to find a use for our hands and use them for good, for the honor and glory of His name. Can I please have Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28? Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. You see there? That's good work. That's works right there. That's an act of love. Love one another. Love thy neighbor. Right there. Let him work using his hands. Laboring. And speaking of which, we need to work. We must labor. By design, this is how things were created. God placed it that way. Solomon says, he becomes poor that worketh with a slack hand. What's a slack hand? A lazy hand. He becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The hand of the diligent. Brother, I might as well put it up. Could you put that up for me, please? Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4. I should have put that on the scripture list there, but I didn't put it. Proverbs 10, 4 says this. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, meaning lazy. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Right there. There's a promise for us. Right there, for us to be fruitful. Right? And the Lord will bless. Especially when we do it for Him. Praise God. Moving on. In a good watch, mechanical watch, not a digital watch. But actually, this could be applied to a digital watch too. Cleanness ensures good performance. For a watch to function properly, it must be kept clean. And many times, whenever your watch quits running just out of the blue, it is found to be that it's very dirty inside. A Christian must have a clean life and a clean heart in order to do his best work for the Lord. I talked about it to extent this morning on the Sunday morning service. I talked about us being cleaned and purified by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Unclean lips is what Isaiah mentioned in Isaiah 6. And I'm bringing it over right now to this evening service and reminding you that a Christian life must have a clean life and a clean heart in order for him to do his best work for the Lord. King David said, create in me a clean heart. These are the words from King David. Our Lord Jesus tells us that we are cleansed by His Word. His Word will cleanse us. The psalmist asks a question and then answers it this way in Psalms chapter 24, 3 and 4. Can I have that, please? Psalms 24, 3 and 4. Thank you. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? And here's the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfulness. Do you see the importance now of a clean heart, of a clean mind, a clean body? Here it says, clean hands. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Right there. We are told in our Lord God, Holy Scriptures, that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We are also told that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all impurities, from all sins. The blood who cleanses us. But if we walk in the light, as the Lord Jesus is in the light, we fellowship with one another. More to come on this. I've been wanting to elaborate on this verse, but more to come. Not yet. But the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse all of us. And moving forward now, on a good watch, the mainspring must be kept tight and wound up. And the heart of a man is his mainspring, and it must be kept right. The very heart of a man. That is a equivalent to the mainspring of a watch. And Solomon says this about the man's heart, which is found in Proverbs 4, verses 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. You see the importance there in keeping your heart. And now, a good running timepiece. And this is my last illustration right now for this evening. A good trusted timepiece has to be regulated from time to time. You know, I minister to people, I counsel, I do different things, I share the word. But from time to time, I like to sit there and hear a message from a brother or from a sister who have heard something from the Lord. Sometimes I need to be ministered to. And sometimes I want to hear a good word and I want to be enlightened. Lately I have been blessed by some good preaching from trusted men who share the word that comes directly from God. And that encourages me. It shows me different things and shines light in different areas that potentially I might have missed here or I might have overlooked there, or they remind me of something that I already knew. And we need to be calibrated. Every single one of us from time to time. Always renewing of your mind and your spirit. From time to time, a watch has to be adjusted for accuracy. A mechanical watch. And the Christian also needs to be regulated from time to time. And we are regulated first and foremost, above all, above and beyond, by the Word of God. The Word of God regulates us. And Paul tells us that all Scriptures is given for that purpose. Every single Scripture. The word of the Lord. And he tells us to study. Study the word of God. In 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of God. Diligence here, folks. And we are further told in the Word of God, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's the last verse for this evening. And then please have Colossians 3:16. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Praise God. And now, to conclude all of this fun little Bible teaching that I'm sharing with you now, I venture to say, yes, we as Christians are to function like a fine timepiece, continuously. We do this by being full of good works, continuing in all kinds of circumstances, and not giving up, not being faint at heart, not looking at your circumstances. No matter what the situation might be, continuing in all types of good work, regardless. Using your hands in every useful deed, keeping yourself clean is extremely important. Keeping our hearts with all diligence, as Solomon says, and keeping ourselves continuously regulated for accuracy, rightfully dividing the word of God. But in order for one to do all these things, first he must dedicate his life to the Lord, his or her life. You must be a Christian. You must love God with all of your heart and your soul and your mind. You must give 100% of yourself. Praise the Lord. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we exalt you. We praise you, Lord. And Lord, may we always be abounding in good works. May we always, Lord, be full of the Spirit. May we always, Lord, hear from you when we read your word. May our light shine, Lord. Shine and shine strong. May they know that we belong to you. Use us, Lord. Use us mightily in your hands for the honor and glory of your name. Lord, we give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.